city's coming in and do presentation. I moved the city portion of our agenda up to the top so we could hear them and then they would go. Unfortunately, we heard them and then everybody else went. So we did not have a quorum to carry on the discussion about the rules to move forward. And I will say this to everyone that's here today, I'm hoping that you will hang around tomorrow, that Johnny will be here, will be joining us and presenting their legislative package. And the way we left it was regarding our rules, that I would get a letter from legislative council to clarify the committees. And I had done that. I had just not had the opportunity to talk with the members of the delegation. So the ethics bill is not dead.
We are moving forward on something.
We all up here support reconstituting the ethics board. I can attest to that. So as of tomorrow, let us just meet. That will be our first meeting. And I'm asking the members to hang around so that we can go back to old business and then take up that question of the committees, and then we will move forward from there. So that's it.
Okay, thank you.
I'm Lynn Gannum, and I also have a question about the ethics process, which I never thought would be the lighter topic. But I have a question, one question. In 2015, 90-some% of the voters of DeKalb County approved a specific ethics bill. One part of that bill, as you all know, was declared unconstitutional by the state Supreme Court. My question, and this is not a rhetorical question, this is a genuine question. I am puzzled as to what the reasons are that it seems to be impossible for the delegation to get together and fix the items that the Supreme Court objected to, and then after we have done that and gotten what was a functioning ethics board back up and working as the voters in 2015 wanted it to be, then in a separate process, why can't you then make whatever changes you folks think are necessary? It's a simple fix. And I'm trying to understand how I can do so. That's my question. And I will just leave it to you to answer or not.
I'm going to weigh in here again. My guess is that you probably would hear different responses from most of us. And that has been problematic for us to agree on how to move forward. I can guarantee you, again, that we will be moving forward on something. And I can't say what that something will look like. Representative Wilson and Representative Oliver did present to the delegation a fix that you have asked for about 2015, the section that was deemed unconstitutional. Over the course of our many discussions, there have been other issues that have presented themselves. And I'm hoping publicly that all of us can come together and agree to move forward on that fix and any other issue that we have, like gift cards. That was one issue that kept coming up and coming up last year for us, was gift cards, the whole issue of gift cards. And simple or not simple, that has been a point of contention that we would like to resolve. Now, there's lots of ways to resolve it. We can do one bill, we can do two bills, we can do five bills. We just really honestly just started. And I personally would like to just send it over and have it wrapped up. Unfortunately, it's a deliberative process, and we take 9 signatures on this bill to move forward, and we have lots of different opinions on how to solve it, lots of different approaches. And so I would just like for you all, I appreciate all of your hard work. All of your hard work. It hasn't gone on down here. We need to. And we will be moving forward tomorrow.
And we did put the comments in our comment, but we do appreciate that it was a deliberative process. I think all of us are well aware of our city's courses and how the legislative process works. We're just so concerned that what we voted for in 2015 is going to be lost, even in adding important things like the gift card in this one fix. That's all. Thank you. Thank you for your patience, and thank you for listening to us.
My name's Yvonne Jobe, and I may not be in the right arena to talk about this, but I did speak to Becky Evans today. And I want to ask, who in this building knows what a split pad is? Pad split is. Well, I'm just getting knowledge of it. And I'm very concerned as to what is in my name, in our communities. And it seems like we're being targeted again. A gentleman by the name of Addius LeBlanc has joined up with some big time folks with money and has gotten $4.5 million to back him to do this pad split, which in essence is a sophisticated, fancy boarding house. They're coming into our neighborhoods and they're taking, say, my little house, 3 bedrooms. They're taking the den, the family room, and making 4 more bedrooms. And then they're going to rent them out. And this is going to help to solve the homeless situation. I'm 77 years old, and I do not think that I want a house next door to me with people moving in and moving out, and I don't know who's next door or who they are. You can interview anybody and tell them this is the kind of person that's going to be in that house, but that is not what I know. Representative from Smyrna, you know, Becky said she knows her, is introducing a bill like tomorrow or the next day to change the meaning of what a single family dwelling is. This gentleman has bought over 100 some houses, has already converted them, and putting renters in. I called today to find out. I said, I want to rent a house or rent a room. So I said, where can you tell me where I can go look so I can see where I'm moving into? Oh, we can't give you no addresses. You can't even find out where the house is or which house on your street is a pad split.
I don't understand.
I think it's wrong to come in underserved neighborhoods and change our face of our communities. I have been fighting with contractors coming in wanting to go change the zoning to meet their needs and to build 84 houses on 10 acres just to put money in his pocket. No, you're not going to do that. I've lived in my little house for 46 years. We are all senior citizens, and most of us that are in here probably live in DeKalb County. If Mr. LeBlanc wants to help the homeless and let people live rich, you know, $500 a month, tell him to go build a high rise, charge everybody $500 a month, and give them a 250-foot square room to live in. But don't bring this kind of stuff into our neighborhoods. And I don't want you all to let this lady get her way, because money talks. She's got Cox behind her. She has CORE, whoever that big conglomerate person is. Big money, and probably can get more money. And these bills get passed. And guess what happens? Then the commissioners are outlawed. They cannot have that authority to say, no, we are single family dwellings, and this is how it's going to stay. So if you all care about who lives in South DeKalb, Becky knows me. I don't know her that well, but I know she listens. This can cause a catastrophe. And I'm asking you all to do what you need to do. And all of you calling to get on the telephone and start calling and sending letters now. Because this lady, for whatever reason, from Smyrna, what's her name?
Terry.
Right, I couldn't pronounce her last name. Right. So she is planning on doing this, and we all got to say no. Because half of us in here, I just learned about it the weekend because it's happening up there off Snapfinger Woods and Cherry Grove. And if you go online, you'll see there's a lot of addresses where it's already happening. And we don't even know about it. And it's wrong. This is something that's going under the table.
Thank you, Ms. Jones. You know what?
And it's wrong.
Thank you for bringing this to our attention.
Well, thanks for listening, all of you. I get excited when I'm talking.
We are over our time limit. I do want you all to have the opportunity to weigh in. Can you condense your verbiage?
Still Will Crane, still from Scottsdale, Georgia. I want to touch on a couple of things, just to the general audience as much as to the members of the legislative delegation. Representative democracy, or more accurately described, a republic, is messy. And we all have things we're very passionate about, but we can do it in a civil way. We can have these dialogues and discussions without shouting over each other, without cutting each other off, without being disrespectful. And I would just ask that we go forward as a county if we ever want this north-south divide to blend a little better. And I live in Scottsdale, and I moved there in 2007 when it was 65% gentlemen who looked like this gentleman, 23% who looked like me, and 12% other. Things are shifting there. People get nervous. We've got some pad split folks that have moved into Scottsdale, but I've met some. George Cheedy, who's a Pine Lake City Councilman, is also involved in that effort to create more affordable housing across the Metro Atlanta area. I worked with some residents in the city of Decatur who wanted to fight a group home. My youngest child has Down syndrome. At some point in her life, she may need to live in a group home. We have to understand at some point in time, our neighborhoods aren't always going to look like they look today. And sometimes if we're willing to think a little bit outside the box, let's go meet the new neighbor before we decide we don't want those kind of people in our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. The reason I'm actually standing here is about annexation. I woke up one morning about 3-4 weeks ago to read the city of Clarkston was going to gobble up North DeKalb Mall, DeKalb Medical Center, now Emory, and Scottsdale where I live. Smartly, Mayor Terry, who's decided to stay mayor and run for another office, has withdrawn that proposal, but there's always what I'll call cherry-picking annexation opportunities out there. The city of Atlanta picked off a good chunk of Druid Hills, Emory, and the CDC, a few million dollars out of our DeKalb City-County school system. Where are we with this legislative session with any of those many proposals by various cities to cherry-pick and extend further with the most recent annexation that I'm aware of being the city of Brookhaven, picking up about 2,000 residents who wanted to be in majority annexed into Brookhaven. Thank you.
I'll chime in on that. So as far as annexation goes, I think most of this audience knows that there are different methods of annexation. And so the initial Emory annexation, across 85 was by 100% method for Executive Park. And that was one, property owner saying he wants to go into, they wanted to go into Brookhaven. And that, I think, in turn led to the citizens of Lavista Park wanting to, choosing and to go in by the 60% method, where 60% of voters and property owners chose to go into Brookhaven. Because as it makes sense, I think most of you all know this, that it makes sense generally for the neighborhoods that surround a commercial area to belong to that area. I mean, because they're influenced by the development, by that commercial development. So, and the thing is we aren't involved with the 60% or 100% method. So that can keep going on. We have no control over that. We cannot control that, So the only thing we can control is we can control the referendums, if you have a really big annexation.
And school system annexation.
Mm-hmm. Well, school system, we're right now, just to make sure everyone knows, I'm sure most of you do, that DeKalb County is unique. We have two independent school districts of, you know, City of Atlanta and Decatur, and that, and so if cities, if houses annex into those cities, then automatically, right now, they automatically fall over the school district. So that actually is another complicating factor about incorporation and annexation, and that's a problem we as a delegation wanted to address this issue this past year. Well, we did, as it was a unanimous thing in the delegation to separate municipal from school annexations, and but as you know, the governor vetoed it, and we really need to figure out what's going to happen with that, because if these two new cities were to move forward this session, that would leave a swath of unincorporated DeKalb that might want to go other places, and it might, you know, take away, if they go into Decatur or Atlanta, it would remove those schools from DeKalb County schools, the way the current law exists now. So it's a complicated issue. But one that we want, I sincerely hope our delegation will tackle these issues, you know, this session too.
So I will just kind of, as it relates to whether or not the school district goes into an annexation in DeKalb County, I don't know if this is on, y'all hear me?
Yeah.
There. So what happened in that particular issue when Northfield Hill area and Emory was annexed into the City of Atlanta, prior to the vote for the City of Atlanta City Council, there was a gentleman's agreement that they would not couple the school district boundaries to the city boundaries. So the City of Atlanta City Council voted to improve the boundaries. They were not obligated by law to do that. Now, the legislation that we had last year that actually passed the House and the Senate that went to the governor that he vetoed would not have resolved that particular issue. However, it would have created a parameter for there to be some negotiations. What happened with that annexation is that the DeKalb County schools did lose funds, whereas the DeKalb County government had an opportunity to negotiate on the front end. And I think that's one of the things that we were trying to address. So they don't have to, if there's a municipality and an independent school district, automatically couple those things. Couple means tie the school district and the county in, but the City of Atlanta Council
decides to do that. I'll pass the bill again. I'll try to keep Mark Middleton
tied up. We appreciate that very much. I understand that they are trying to work on something.
Okay. Good evening. My name is Devon Hudson. I'm a 36-year resident of DeKalb County. I'm an entrepreneur and a business person. I stand here today because I believe in cityhood. I've listened this evening with some passions about cityhood and not having cityhood. Bill Crane, I appreciate you saying that about the quorum, because I think there is absolutely a way for us to get this done together. Langston Hughes once talked about what happens to a dream deferred, does it drive like a raisin in the sun? What has happened here in DeKalb County, we have kicked this issue down the road much too long. Whether it's the 1% sales tax that has gone to Marvin for the services we have not received in South DeKalb, or it's the payment to a pension that for people who are not unincorporated DeKalb County. We had a former CEO, whether you liked him or not, talking about cityhood some 20 years ago. He understood and he seen the vision of what would happen if we did not create a city for unincorporated DeKalb County. His vision has now come to life. Now, I take nothing from Dunwoody. I take nothing from Sandy Springs. I take nothing from Brookhaven, because those cities were started and initiated by business people who understood the economic value of cityhood. You can't write that away. The Carl Vinson Institute has told you over and over again the impact of cityhood in Greenhaven is very little on DeKalb County. But the reality of it, for the 300,000 residents here, is a huge impact on another way, because it gives the generation of income and dollars for economic development. I, as a citizen of South DeKalb, am disappointed in the fact that we have always been the armpit of everything. If you listen to the radio, Mark Spain doesn't advertise on half a rep about buying houses. Mark Spain doesn't talk about buying houses in Cobb County. He says if you're in South Fulton, if you're in South DeKalb, if you're in Clayton County, why does that happen? because they think they're preying on an uneducated population, but that's not the truth, because our population is educated. My stance today here is about the opportunity to vote. Yes, I understand that your constituents haven't come in droves and talked about the fact that they want cityhood, but you and I both know that they don't come in droves about anything. They come in small numbers. Senator Representative Viola Davis, I love you, I respect you.
Mr. Hudson, can you please wrap
up?
I will. I got you.
I respect you.
Thank you.
But the referendum is too late. It's 5 years too late. Because what has happened now, we've sat on our hands and allowed all these other areas to pick off all the commercial development. So if you think you got a problem now, as those scientists think you got a problem, wait till later. Because if we continue to do absolutely nothing, they're going to get the rest of us up here. Ask me, why does the city of DeKalb County, the Decatur, want to annex down Kemmel Road to South DeKalb? They recognize the economic value there. We in our community and our representatives have to recognize we got something special here, but I think we only accomplished with this city. Thank you.
Judge of Juvenile Court, Judge Benson C. Crawford. I have two questions. Where's the bill on including 17-year-olds as juveniles? And also, we are all juvenile court judges are frightened right now with the budget cuts because over 99% of our money comes from federal and state funding for our programs. And where are we with our funding being cut?
House Bill 440 had its fifth hearing today in the Juvenile Justice Committee. We anticipate a vote. I anticipate that the Juvenile Justice Committee, this is a guess, it's not a guarantee, will pass House Bill 440 to move 17-year-olds into the juvenile court jurisdiction. When we do that, if I'm right, then we're going to have a serious discussion with the governor on moving forward with his agreement to fund what changes that might entail. But you've asked a very timely question because we finished our fifth hearing today.
I'll be super quick. My name is Angela Barnett. I'm with the Vista Grove Initiative Volunteer. And I just wanted to make sure that everyone here, we probably made sure that you know already, that it's our intention to campaign and promote Vista Grove as a partnership entity with DeKalb County Police. So that's something that Mr. Brackett said multiple times, is this is how it was as the initial feasibility study was laid out. That's what they were going by. We have since seen the benefits of looking at DeKalb County as a whole and assisting and funding the DeKalb County Police Department. And as such, so that everyone knows, we have a meeting next Thursday, which I would like to invite everyone on stage to, where the DeKalb County Police Department will be presenting to the Vista Grove community about that partnership and current crime levels. So, you know, if you've had your car broken in recently, you might want to show up and find out how to stop that. So, I just wanted to say that. It looks like I'm the last one.
Okay, no more after him.
My name is Chris Hester. I live in North Crest, and we are in the footprint for the Vista, Vista Grove. And so I heard you earlier say that you have no control over the 60% and 100%, so people can annex and do this cherry picking throughout. Can you not do a moratorium on annexation in the county? I think I've heard that discussed in the past. Until we figure all this out, there's so many moving parts right now because a lot of the commercial area in that footprint has been taken. So I don't think it's as viable as it was. So is that a possibility at all?
I haven't seen it. We haven't seen the county's legislative package.
Right.
I'm sure that there will be something mentioned about that.
About a moratorium?
Yes.
It's up to the city. The city does have a choice about whether or not to participate. And accept. The list of parts, there were 660 people that petitioned together. And the decision making is shared in some way. But I think there's ongoing discussions about what you have.
Okay, so thank you all for coming. I know I want to ask my friends, if they would like to make any concluding comments. I, for one, I just want to say thank you. We meet on Wednesdays in room 514. Our meetings are open to the public at noon. And please be careful going home tonight. Anybody else?
Is there any way you can find out that when we have the delegation meeting on Wednesdays? I came last week, it was earlier than when it was supposed to be.
We weren't able to do that.
Was it was canceled? Okay, because I know I came down there.
You should be on my list, but make sure you're on Jocelyn. Did you sign that list today? Make sure I have your
information.
No, we didn't have.
I want to make a statement to everyone that in any way that if I am here to be angry in any way, I apologize. I did not want to come across like that. But being honest and having integrity is very important to me. And I would ask that if any visible person out there, if you can locate one person who can say that I did anything unethical dealing with your legislation, I ask that you have them put it in writing and bring it forward. I did not do that. So I want to make sure that everyone understands that.
Thank you all for coming out tonight. The only thing I would like to say to you, especially the folks that are interested in citizenship, and you say that you want to vote, we all agree that voting is extremely important and we wouldn't deny anyone. But one of the things that I think you all should understand, as well as the legislation around the ethics, when you voted for the ethics bill, you said you want an ethics commission. You didn't vote on the legislation that is inside of the bill. And so, yes, there are some things to get passed down at the General Assembly that we have to come back and fix. We want to do that. As it relates to you new cities, as you guys are coming up, please learn from some of the other cities that there are things in their charter that you deal with them before you become a city. You will have less issues, not that you're not going to have any issues, but you will have less issues if you deal with the legislation, i.e. the charter, before you vote on being a city. Good night. We love all y'all. Come on down to the Capitol and visit.
Thank you so much. I had no clue.